If you would, to stand up and be recognized this morning. I know we've got several here this morning. So if you would, please stand to your feet so we can recognize you and appreciate you for your service. Amen. We respect these gentlemen for what they have done for our country and for their service, for their friends that may have not got to come home. We thank them for their dedication. This morning, I want you to turn with us to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And if you're here this morning, you want to go to Children's Church. Now, that's is up to ages 8, I believe, from 4 to 8. So if you'd like to go to Children's Church, so you adults, you can't go, because I know some of you like to have the snack time that they get to have. But anyway, we'll have that after a while. We'll eat lunch. But I am planning on going by and seeing Sister Helen after church today for just a few minutes, maybe go by and maybe take her a copy of the CD of a couple of the services that are there, and so she can have. She said she has enjoyed everyone that has come by to be with her and spend some time visiting, and she really has appreciated that. And if you haven't got a chance to maybe call her or go by and see her, she would really like that. She might not talk much to you, because it does wire her out to do very much talking, because her breathing has got to that point where it is that difficult for her. But she enjoys the company, so she would like to see you. So if you get a chance to go by there and see her, please do so or give her a call. So 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning, we're going to look at a man. As we've been thinking about our veterans and men of valor and the things that they've done, and we see what they have done. They may have not have thought at the time they were doing great things, or that they were very brave, because they were probably scared as they were having to do a lot of the things, maybe the ones that was involved in wartime, things that they just didn't think they could do. Because it wasn't because they wanted to be there. A lot of times that they were in the situations they were in, they had orders and they had to carry them out. But they were men of bravery, and though they were scared, they still had to have courage to be able to go on and do the job that their country was requiring them and giving them orders to do. And we see that we honor them and call them men of valor for the things that they've done, because of their bravery to be able to face those circumstances and be able to go forward and do the things that their country is required of them. And we're going to see a man who was similar there, as we was thinking about. He had orders from his king, the things that he needed to do, a mighty man, as we were going to discover here in the first verse of 2 Kings chapter 5. His name is Naaman. But Naaman had a problem. Though he was a mighty man, though he was a man of valor, though he had done many things in honor of his king and for his country, there was still a problem that Naaman had. And it's kind of like the problem that we all have, no matter how big, no matter how small. We were all born into a world of sin because of the sin nature of man. But Jesus came in to heal us of that uncleanliness. But we see that Naaman had a problem besides maybe this, that he was a leper. And in those days, when someone was a leper, they didn't have a lot of friends, because they were afraid of getting the leprosy and the other things. Though we see that Naaman was a mighty man, as we discover in the first verse of chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now we see all these things, and we think no matter how good we are, no matter how strong we are, no matter how advanced we seem to be, we still have a common problem that's known to all mankind, and it is sin. There was a sin that entered in through Adam's fall in the garden that destined all human beings that has ever been born upon this earth to die and go to hell. But there was one man that was born, his name's Jesus, who was perfect, still is perfect, that came to die on the cross of Calvary to save us and to heal us from our terrible sin debt that we could not pay. But we see that Naaman here was a mighty man, was a great man in his master's sight, because he had done great things for him. He had went out there and inspired the troops. Now, I don't know about if any of them's got any stories they might share with you sometime, but they had to be sometimes people that would inspire you when you was there in the middle of a fight to keep you fighting. fighting to keep you going. Sometimes they liked them, sometimes they didn't, and different things, the ones that was in command. But there had to be somebody there that would keep inspiring people to keep on to being able to stay in the fight and do the things that they needed to do. And so that's kind of my job. And today, and being the pastor and being the preacher, is my job to inspire you to stay into the fight for the Lord, to keep on going forward, though we may suffer some defeats here and there. May we don't get our prayers answered the way we thought they ought to go, but we're to stay in the fight for God and keep on going forward. No backing up, because in the Christian armor that God gives everyone that's in His army, we don't have a back plate to protect our back, because there's no running, there's no turning around, that we're to keep marching forward with our helmet of salvation on our head, to have the sword of the Spirit with us, and to have the shield of faith, and have on our breastplate of righteousness, and to be going forward for God. There's nowhere to turn around. Naaman couldn't turn around and be a man of valor. He couldn't turn and run when the battle got hot. He had to stay in the midst of it, and that's why he had found favor in his master's eyes, because he was there and he inspired those that was following him to stay in the fight so they could be victorious. And we see that he had brought deliverance unto Syria for them. It says, and then the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, sometimes we think maybe because of our stature in the community, maybe because we think that we don't have anything really to say to anybody, that we don't have to we don't have a need to share maybe with someone else about how good God has been in our life. But let me tell you, little is much when God's in it. It doesn't matter whether He's healed you of cancer or whether He healed you of the common cold. You need to tell people how good God is, because it don't matter how big, how little in God's eyes, it's all covered the same way. He's got healing. He has salvation. He has blessings for His children if we'll only trust Him. But we see this little maiden that's going to come out of Israel. She's going to speak some words that's going to be able to encourage some folks here and to bring healing to Naaman later on, because she wasn't ashamed of the men of God. She wasn't ashamed of the one that could do something for somebody else, that she was willing to share the good news. Are we willing today to share the good news of God? Are we willing to share when He is working on us and giving us what we need and strengthening us? Are we willing to share that with someone else? Or do we get wrapped up and concerned about just what we are going through, and we can't worry about no one else? I tell you, sometimes we get that way, but God said we need to worry about others too and to pray for them, and He'll take care of these things if we'll put our trust in Him. We need to let our light shine, and let it so shine, not just within ourselves, but to shine to a world that is in darkness. In verse 3 it says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She said, I tell you one thing, I wished old Naaman could know this man that I known back there in Samaria, because he could do something for him. Whenever you got a good doctor, you're willing to tell people about how good your doctor is. And a lot of times when we got a bad one, we're willing to tell them about how bad they are too. But let me tell you, we need to tell people about the goodness of God. We need to tell him that where people can find some answers is in the house of God, not out on the street. But that if we'll get in God's house, and we can find some answers for our life. And the maiden knew that there was somebody that had an answer for Naaman here and for his leprosy that could take care of that leprosy. And she said, I wished he was down there to be able to meet him, that he could do something for him. And it says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Now let me tell you, there's a lot of times people eavesdropping on your conversations that's going on. So we need to mind their tongues on what we're saying, that they're going to carry somewhere else to tell what we've said. Let it be something of God. Let it be something that it can be a benefit to God. And be shame on us when it's those idle words that are not things that's worth repeating, that people go and tell that we've said. That we don't spend time carrying tales and making up tales and carrying the gossip. Let me tell you, I know he's likes Facebook, but that's a gossip page. Just put under a different name, and people keeping up with one another. And I know I've started meddling now and quit preaching, but it's be all right. Because let me tell you, if it wasn't for Facebook, it'd be the telephone. It'd be hot and heavy. There's people spend the time on there and got to talk about this one, talk about that one. Barbecue the preacher, barbecue the deacons, barbecue the church for a while. But that's all right. You're giving somebody else a rest while you barbecue. But let me tell you, just invite me over when it gets done. We'll have a meal together. But we see now that she said to him that in the land of Israel, and they went and told what she had said, what the maiden had said. And the king of Syria said, Go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now the king didn't get all the story straight here, because he was thinking about the king there being able to do it. The king wasn't the prophet that the little maiden was talking about here. But let me tell you, the letter was sent to the king and got him excited, because the king here of Syria had sent him a letter and sent his messenger Naaman. He thought maybe what he was sending him down there for was to give him an act of war, maybe, because he wasn't going to be able to recover him from his leprosy or be able to do anything from him. So he got a little excited because he didn't know exactly what this letter meant. Sometimes when we get into the Word of God, we don't understand exactly what the letter of what God has written to us means, and we get a little excited. We think, well, that can't be for today. That's not relevant for this lifestyle that we're in. But my friend, what has happened is our lifestyle is not relevant for the Word of God. We need to get it lining up back with the Word of God, and then we'll see some changes in America. We'll see some changes in this world. We'll see some changes that will be pleasing unto God. But what has to happen is we line up with the Word of God, not try to make it line up with us, not change it, not come up with some new version, not try to change the language of it to fit today's society. What we need to do is just get in there and study it and let God's tutor that lives on the inside instruct us on the Word of God. We need to get into it and let it get into us. But now we see the king here, he's a little excited because he gets the letter. And it says, And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill or to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He got excited and rent his clothes there. And that was a sign of distress whenever this happened, that people would rend their clothes and tear them off. Today, we just call it dressing. People tear holes in their breeches and buy them that way. Used to be ashamed of those holes. You wanted them patched. And when they was patched, you was ashamed of the patches. But you had good clothes to wear. Now they'll blow holes in them with a shotgun. Call them calamity jeans. They got acid wash. Got stone washed. And all these things. We just need to be washed by the blood. Washed by the blood. They buy them too big. We call them hand-me-downs. You grew into them. And some of them, they wear them so big, ain't if they ever grow into them. Woo! Cassandra bought me a belt one time. I'm going to tell this on her. I don't know how big she thought it was. She bought me a 44 belt. I had a 36-inch waist at that time. That was a long time ago. She said, maybe you can grow into it. I said, I hope I never do. I still ain't grew into it, Daddy. The biggest thing I needed was a 40, but I was getting close. Thank God I'm becoming less of a man. But we see now the king of Israel, he was excited because he knew that he couldn't do it. He knew that he wasn't God. He knew that he wasn't God's man to be able to do that. And he's thinking, he's coming against me in a quarrel. What am I going to do? But then there was those people that was around here that knew what to do when the king was excited. It said in verse 8, it says, And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but I think what that needs in America, and we need to stand with Israel. Don't get me wrong. We need to stand with Israel. There is a God in Israel. There always will be. But we need God to return to America. We need to bring Him back into our homes. We need to bring Him back into our churches. We need to bring Him back into our government. And this thing of separation of church and state that they have so wrong needs to be changed in their minds and hearts. It wasn't that God couldn't be involved with government. It was that government wouldn't have the say-so on how we could worship. But we need to pray and ask God for His leadership. And Elisha was telling the king, he said, send him on down here so he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel. Let me tell you, God is still able. God is still able. Sister Karen had faith in what God's Word told her in James chapter 5 last week, to come and have the elders of the church anoint her with oil and pray. And the righteous prayer, or the prayers of righteous people, will availeth much. Let me tell you, if we'll have that faith in God, as we'll have to go to the doctor to try to get better, or if we have that same faith that we have in our cars to start, there's more people got more faith in their car to start than what they got in what God can do. I don't have no faith in that car starting because it's left me stranded before. God never has. He's always been right there to help me in my case of need. And it says in verse 9, so Naaman came with his horse and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now you might say, well, this man was a man of honor. He was a man to be respected. But here we see Elisha. He didn't pay him that respect. Elisha sent a messenger to him, though he was standing at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him and told him what he needed to do. God is sending the messengers out into the world to tell us what we need to do in following God's Word. We need to listen to those messengers. We need to try the Spirit of God as it comes to us and know if it's of God. And we need to listen to that. But He sent the messenger unto Naaman and told him to go wash, and he shall be clean. Jesus says, believe, and you shall be saved. He didn't say we had to do any great thing. He didn't say that we had to be able to run a marathon. He didn't say that we had to be able to bench press 500 pounds. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't say we had to put enough money in the offering to satisfy Him, offer burnt offerings and all these. He didn't say none of that. He said, believe. Believe in Me. You believe in God, believe also in Me. There's many people that will believe in God, but they leave Jesus out and they forget about Him. But we see now kind of what in verse 11, Naaman here, he wasn't too satisfied with what news he got because he was looking for something more. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He was looking for something more. Let me tell you that sometimes a lot of people are looking for more when it comes to salvation than what they have to see. I'm going to tell you, lightning's not going to strike. Fireworks don't go off. And all these things that a lot of people are looking to see are seeing the light. We put all these notions on salvation, and because they don't happen, and then people worry that they've not saved. When you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth unto salvation that Jesus died for you, forgave you of your sins, He didn't say that everything was going to, lights were going to go off and like camera flashes or fireworks going to go off. You're going to know inside. It's not a show. It's not a carnival. It's not entertainment when it comes to salvation. It's saving your soul from hell. And it's got a whole different thing than what we make out of it. We don't have to have some kind of entertainment for people to get healed today. What we need is faith. Faith believing. When we pray, that we believe as if God has already answered. Pray and don't cease. Don't just pray on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. There's a whole lot of other time that we need to spend some time on our knees praying. Or spend time where at your job praying. You can pray with your eyes open. You can enter into your closet and be doing something and be working with your hands. And you can enter into your closet and pray. It don't have to be eloquent. It don't have to be a great bunch of words. All it needs to be is from the heart. And God can hear from heaven. But Naaman was looking for more. And we see here in verse 12, he says, are not Abedan and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Ain't that the way it is? When God's fixing to answer, though God's going to answer it His way, God's going to do it His way, sometimes we're not satisfied with that and we go away in a huff because it's not done the way we thought it ought to be done. I was upset when I got diabetes and I couldn't go into the military. I got upset when all the recruiters would call me after I took the ASVAB and offer me all this money for years of service if I would come in there and do certain things. And then I'd say, I'm a diabetic, and they would hang up on me. So I turned it on them. I just started saying, you won't take me, I'm a diabetic, and hang up on them. It upset me because I didn't understand what God had in store. I didn't understand what it was that God had a greater purpose to call me to at that time. At 12 and 13 years of age, I didn't understand what else there was out there. I just knew of the dream that I had of being able to be maybe a helicopter pilot, that's what I always wanted to be, was gone. But God has opened more doors than it would, could have ever been maybe through the path that I wanted to go, because I followed His path when He worked with my heart and realized these things. But I was upset and discouraged because I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do. And it wasn't what I thought my future should be. And Naaman here went off the same way because he thought his future should be that he would be healed of this man, that he would do some great thing and come place his hand upon it and he'd be cleansed and that'd be it and it'd be over. But it wasn't the way he said. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Boy, that gets right down there. If God required us to do some great service, if God told us that we need to go out there and we need to call some of these singing groups and we need to put together a great big singing in Sparta and undertake all this and maybe call some of the pastors that we see on TV that have such great followings. One of my favorite, John Hagee, just for example. And we called him and had him to come and run some great revival. Something that we'd look at and say, boy, that's going to take some time. We're going to have to get down and we're going to have to work and do all these things and get prepared for this service. But when he tells us to come to church on Sunday morning with the same preparation, why do we think it a small thing to take advantage of this today? Why do we think that it because we didn't put maybe as much into it as planning for today's service as maybe we should have, that this is a small thing? It's the same God that is here today that could be in a service like that, gathered together with big-name people that are out there on the road testifying and preaching and doing all these things because we serve the same God. So why, if it was some great thing, we'd undertake it more heartily than we would if it's a simple every week, be in the house of God, pray at home, come seeking a blessing in His house? Why do we make that of none effect and think that it's not as important? Naaman didn't think it was as important to go and wash in the water in the Jordan. He said, there's better water at home than what I got there. There's better things to do than to go down to the Jordan and wash. But the servant here, he had a little common sense. And he said, you know, if he asks you to do a great thing, you do it. So why not just go do the simple thing? Why not go wash and be clean? Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he was clean. He done the simple thing. Because that's what God had ordained for him to do. He went and done the simple. He didn't dip six times. He didn't do it five times. He didn't do it four times. Didn't do it once. Now, I'd say by the time he done it the sixth time and ain't nothing changed, he's thinking, boy, I don't know about this thing. He said dip seven times, but ain't nothing happened yet. But on that seventh time when he come up and that leprosy was gone, a whole man once again. A whole man once again. I don't know how God knew how to put all this body together. And I think about it, how I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. We got our liver and it's got certain functions. We got a spleen that's got certain functions. Now, I don't know about that little thing that hangs down the back of your throat, really what that's supposed to do, besides hang around there and when you have a sore throat, gets against one of your tonsils or in there and causes you problems. I'm not exactly sure what its job is, but God knew it had one. And I don't know why, as we get older, our ears continue to grow. God's got a sense of humor, that's all I can figure. But he made these bodies wonderful and amazing. And he can take a simple thing, a simple word of his mouth, and we can be healed. He came and put some foot time into salvation as Jesus walked upon the earth, as he taught, as he loved, as he went to the cross of Calvary. He paid a ransom for a world that has turned their back on him now. Taking God out, it's time to put God back. It's time to put him back. And the simple things that we need to follow of God, the simple things, verse 15, it says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Naaman was glad that he went down to Israel and met this prophet. He was glad to find out that there was a God in Israel. And all the other gods, those pagan gods, they're still around today because there are people that are still trying to follow them. And they're neglecting the one true living God. But Naaman was glad that this living God was still there and that there was none other in all the world like this God. And he asked Isaiah here to take a tribute, take a blessing. He wanted to give him something. And Isaiah, he told him, no, Elisha told him, he said, no. He said, don't worry about it. He said, you're healed, be blessed, and go on. Now we go on down in that chapter, I'm not going to get down there, but Gehazi, he decided that he needed to have that he was offering. He thought, well, he offered it. Somebody ought to have it. He hadn't done anything, but he was going to reap the reward. But it didn't come to him. It didn't come to him. But what we need to do, it's not the big elaborate things that we need to be faithful in. It's those small things that God asks us to do every day. The small things of worshiping him. Putting him first. Not the flashy things that's going to get a lot of attention. But just follow God. Just listen to him. He'll speak to you. He'll instruct you. He'll guide your steps. But we have to listen. We have to listen. Steel comes to the piano this morning. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're like Naaman. Maybe you're a good man. Maybe you're a good woman. Maybe you're well thought of in the community. But you've got one little problem. You're lost. It's not a shame to be lost because we were all born that way. We've all been there. But it's a shame to die in that condition when there's one that loves you. And not only him, but all of his people love you and want to see you saved. Want to see you saved, but he's the one that died for you. He loved you more than I could ever because he gave his life that you could have life. And you just need to surrender to him. And that's easy to say once you've surrendered. But it's an easy thing to do if you'll just trust him. If you'll just trust him. As we stand to our feet. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. No one looking. Christians praying. If there's one here that's lost this morning, that they'll surrender to Jesus. If you're here this morning, you don't know Him as your Savior, you've never been saved, you've never surrendered your heart to Him, you've never took time to give your heart to Jesus, today's a good day to do that. Today's a good day to do that. If He's dealing with your heart, you know you're lost, you need to be saved. Because if you realize you're lost, if you die outside of Jesus without being saved, friend, I can't do nothing for you then. I can pray for you now. I'd rather pray with you in this altar. Would you just lift that hand? Say, preacher, I'm lost and I need you to pray for me. Pray for me that I'll have the courage to surrender to Jesus. I'll have courage to surrender and ask Him to come in and be my Savior. Is there one anywhere this morning? Maybe there's a need on someone's heart this morning. Maybe just they're just thankful. At one time you was like Naaman, but you surrendered and you done the simple things and Jesus cleansed you. Maybe you just like to raise your hand, say thank you, Lord. God bless that hand. God bless those hands. Maybe you've got a need. Maybe there's someone you know that's sick. Maybe someone that's special on your mind this morning that God's placed there for some reason. Bring them to the altar. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If God's placed them on your heart, He's got a purpose to ask you to pray. To ask you to pray. So come by your faith and praying for someone else that they might be healed. By your faith that someone else might be encouraged to be saved. To surrender and trust Jesus, will you come? Bring them. Bring them to God's altar. Maybe there's just something on your heart you need to surrender to Him. Bring it. Bring it. He'll carry it. He'll carry your load further than you could ever think about. Thank you, Jill. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, dear God, and we thank You for Naaman. Dear God, who listened and surrendered and done the simple thing that was requested of him. Dear God, for him to go and dip himself in the Jordan 7 times. And dear God, we thank You for the man of God who told him exactly what You had instructed him to do. And God, that Your hand was not short. Dear God, that You was there ready and prepared if Naaman would just have faith to believe. And dear God, we pray for our land and country, dear Heavenly Father, that our faith may increase in these troubled times that we face. Dear God, that we put God back in our homes, in our hearts, in our churches, dear Heavenly Father, in our government. But dear God, that most of all, that we put Him back in each individual one and let Him have His will and way in our life. Dear God, we know that when some of the great things that are brought that we undertake to do, that we attack them with such vim and vigor, dear Heavenly Father, to do those things. But dear God, in some of the small things that we neglect those times of our service. And God, we pray that You'd help us to realize that it's in the small things that we show our true obedience unto You. Dear God, we ask You bless each one that's here this morning, each one that's bowed in the altar, dear God, that are praying, Lord, that You just grant to them their petition, dear God, according to Thy will. Dear God, for those that couldn't be here for sickness or travel, whatever the reason might be, God, that You would be with them and bring them back. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our members, Lord, that are homebound, that can't get out like they one time did. Lord, we pray that You would just bless them there at home, dear Heavenly Father, and reach down and hug them up, dear God, in Your precious arms. God, we thank You for this day. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that You'd go with us, Lord. Lord, that You would save that one, dear God, that's lost. That may be even in the midst that didn't surrender, dear God, or raise a hand. But dear God, that You just convict their heart. Dear God, we're very careful about what we pray to get their attention with. But dear God, You know what it'll take, dear Heavenly Father. But dear God, deal with their heart that they might surrender before something major has to come in their life. Dear God, to get them to turn to You. Lord, we thank You for loving us. when we were unlovable. And dear God, we thank you for loving us, dear God, and giving us a place to come together as a family of God. And Lord, we thank you for the day that you'll call us out and that we will have our residence be in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, never to part, never to have to separate. We thank you and praise you for that wonderful day that is on the horizon just ahead. Dear God, I don't know what the future may hold, but I know who holds my future. And I thank you and praise you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.